This is episode 14 of Ask the Pastor. I'm Nick Drake, the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. Today's question is, why do you not allow yourself to be alone with a woman who's not your wife? This is in response, I've actually been asked this several times, in response to kind of a personal policy based on my convictions that I've really done my best to follow since I was a very young, immature Christian still in college. It's certainly inconvenient at times, but it's not that difficult, really. And this would, you know, apply to things like riding in a vehicle or having people to my home or to my office or really any situation where I would potentially be alone with someone. Now, what has been overly surprising to me, especially as I've been a pastor, is how many Christians think that I'm weird or even wrong for having such a conviction. Thankfully, people generally respect my stance on this issue, but I definitely get some funny looks and even some discouraging remarks at times when this comes up. I expect that from people who don't have the same convictions I do about purity and biblical faithfulness. I mean, that's to be expected, but it's disappointing when it comes from people who profess faith in Christ. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of explain this a little further. Now, please realize my exception to this, of course, would be if someone is older than my mother, I have no problem being alone with her. While I don't think it would ever be appropriate for me to be alone with a younger woman, no matter how old I am, no matter how long I live, I don't have a problem with visiting a woman who's 25 plus years my senior. Of course, I wouldn't go out to eat with someone like that, but I've visited widows in their homes or in my office. Even in those situations, though, I tell my wife about it ahead of time, even still. So I try to be very, very careful. I didn't get this policy from Billy Graham, who first made it popular. There's a thing called the Billy Graham rule, or Mike Pence, who's recently been in the news about this because he has a similar policy. Honestly, I didn't even know that either one of them ever practiced this rule until recently. Did I get this policy from the Bible? No, there's no specific Bible verse that says a man can't be alone with a woman or that a woman can't be alone with a man. Of course, that was very rare in ancient culture for people to appropriately be alone with individuals of the opposite sex, especially for those who followed the Lord. So you have to wonder, you know, some of the implications for those of us who follow God's word today. But ultimately, my reason for this personal policy is twofold. One is because I know that I'm a sinner who is not immune to temptation and lust, which, of course, we know very clearly in Scripture, and we're not going to go through all the Scriptures that talk about the sin of lust and sexual sin, but obviously that's clear. So I know I'm not immune to those things. Also, the second reason is because of what the Bible does say about temptation and purity. So I want to look at some of that right now in this session of Ask the Pastor. The first thing I want to read is Matthew 6:3, which, of course, is part of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. One of the things he said towards the end was, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's the end of the Lord's Prayer. Think about that for a second. Lead us not into temptation. Now, if I pray this prayer, which I do often, pray this prayer and ask, you kind of use this as a guideline for praying to God in the morning when I get up. If I use this prayer in good conscience, how can I put myself in a situation that is ripe for temptation? Sexual sins and affairs don't just happen by accident. They happen when people either pursue them or when people let down their guard. None of us is perfect like Jesus. See, and even he responded to the devil's temptation of testing God's help by saying, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Remember, Satan was saying that God would send a legion of angels to protect him, you know, that God protects his people so Jesus could just jump off the cliff. Well, I sincerely believe that putting myself in a situation where I'm alone with another woman is akin to testing the Lord. It's like me jumping off that cliff of possible temptation and sin. Now, what is the situation that is so necessary that I should compromise this conviction rather than making sure I'm in a group of people or meeting with someone with my office door open while someone else is knowingly in the building? I mean, what is the situation that I really need to do that in? We're not talking about a woman in desperation fleeing for her life while running from a mountain lion toward the house that I live in while I'm home alone. I mean, that's not the situation we're talking about here. We're talking about meetings or situations that can be rescheduled, or they can be redone, or they can be reorganized in such a way so that I'm not putting myself in an unnecessary predicament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think, applies well to this situation. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but, you know, Paul is talking with the Corinthian church about avoiding sin and not falling into the trap that their ancestors did. And he said in chapter 10, verse 8 and following, he said, "Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did." And he's talking about the Israelites in Moses' time. "And in a single day, 23,000 people fell dead. Let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. Nor should we complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written as a warning to us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall." I feel like if I put myself in a situation like being alone with a woman, I feel like that's quite prideful of me. Be careful not to fall. Verse 13, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." Now, so often in the ancient world, that idolatry was based on what? It was based on sexual sin. That was the source of idolatry. Yes, God is faithful, as we see in these verses right before that. Yes, he provides a way of escape. But that certainly doesn't insinuate that we should intentionally put ourselves in situations that could potentially require some kind of escape. In other words, when it says that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what you're able, that doesn't mean we put ourselves in situations and say, "Okay, God, let's see." I think that goes back again to us testing God. And then a little bit earlier, a few chapters before this, in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20, Paul says, "Run or flee from sexual immorality. Every sin a person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Now, this has implications not just for the individual, but also for the body of Christ, the church. No other sin so clearly affects the body, both the individual and the church, the body of Christ, as sexual sin does. I don't want to be a statistic, and so I pray that God not only leads me not into temptation, but that he gives me wisdom to avoid situations that are breeding grounds for temptation. You remember what God said to Cain when Cain was upset with God not accepting Cain's offering in Genesis chapter 4? God knew Cain's heart. God knew Cain's motives. And he said in chapter 4, verse 7, "If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." You know, it's my personal conviction that doing what is right in the situation we're talking about right now, it's to not put myself in a situation that could easily result in temptation and sin. I certainly can't force this position on others. I can't say that if you disagree with me that you're in sin, but I just pray that God would give you wisdom as you consider how can you best walk in purity and truth, to be above reproach and to be faithful to God's word in all areas of your life. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ask the Pastor.